Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm Tracy Barnett, your host and narrator. Heroes, we are back today with part two of our new series of shotguns and sorcery. We have James, we have Shane, and we have Noir, and they are ready to take you deeper into the heart of the city and find out exactly what happened with the murder. Let's get to the show. With that, she departs, and yeah, where do we find John as he is, like, beginning the course of his investigations? Like, where does Noah catch up to you is the question.
First place I always go, the morgue. Gotta go to the morgue.
This feels like it might be a call for Noah, actually. Noir's character, Noah, has the connected feature, which is neither of you are involved with the police. So one thing that is part of this game, because of connected, you have the feature of contacts, which you have four contacts that you can choose as you play. And a contact can either provide you access, the ability to get places you can't normally go, knowledge, someone who is an expert in a skill you don't have, or a resource, someone who can get you goods or services for cheap or free. I kind of think, and like, you can employ this as you want. If you plan to break into the morgue, you are more than welcome to do that. But that is a suggestion that I would have to make this easier.
I'm gonna give a call to my buddy, Dr. Prosciutto. I need a good 15, and I need a good 15 in the freezer.
Yeah, I kind of like, I would like us then to smash cut to John and Noah walking together to the city, or not even the city morgue. This is the district morgue. This is a city that has a higher than average need for morgues. And I kind of think, like, you're walking down this hallway that is lit by these eerie, like, crystal ball lights. I think all the lights here are, you know, they're piping into some dimension where everything is, like, got a very blue hue. I think, like, as we're walking past these lights, like, we can see the swirling nexus of colors that is these other dimensions over the frost-caked walls of this morgue. However, things are kept cool down here. They are kept cool by magical means that really cannot be well contained. And I think this is, like, normally kind of a pretty perilous place to walk. But, like, the two of you are walking together probably, you know, 20 yards or so from, like, this door at the end of the hall that is the morgue. Like, clearly you're somewhere either underground or, like, really close to ground level in this place that, like, just barely echoes your voices as the walls are bare but covered in frost, which muffle just a little bit of sound.
All right. I got you access to the ice cube. Go find your popsicle.
It's always food with you. Let's go do this. Where is she? Where's Evelyn? Evelyn? It was Evelyn, right?
Evelyn.
All right. Evelyn's the dead one.
Right. Yeah, we're going to go look for Evelyn in this district morgue, whatever. I don't trust you. I don't trust her. I trust you more than her, but
that's
I don't know where you find these people.
Around, you talk to people, you give them guides to the Wonderwall. It's an easy way to get some coin. You meet some nice people. Some of them want to go past the wall and do some adventuring. Some of them just want to look at the wall.
You'd go halfway, half the world away to find somebody, wouldn't you?
You know, I get lonely. I don't do too well by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I put up with you, right?
I don't know which one of us, but one of us has made a huge mistake with this.
You make it to the door. It is this big and thick iron construction. It is definitely rusted, but still looks solid.
All right. Let's just get this over with. What are you hoping to find out anyway? I mean, we know she's dead.
Well, if a monster killed her, it will look like one thing. I want to see if there's anything on her that suggests something else.
Yeah, well, if a monster killed her, it'll look gross is what it is.
Yeah, you and I have seen enough of that.
Yeah, you always start here. I don't know why you start here. It's a real bummer way to start a case.
The door opens for you, and standing on the other side is a man who appears to be in his 40s. I want to say that he's got to be a little bit of beastkin too. Like there's just a look of like wildness about him. He's got thick body hair and like kind of big mutton chops, and he goes, "Noah,
prosciutto, hey buddy,
Paisan, come here."
Ah, hey, I brought my friend here. We gotta go take a look at the popsicle. My friend Evelyn. Hey, real sad story. Got chomped up real nice.
You bringing this asshole back here? Hey.
He gets the job done, I'm telling you.
No. You can come in here for free because you are my friend and you speak to me with respect. It's going to cost you money.
He's going to be nice. You're going to be nice, right?
Let there be love, man.
See? Look at that. Nice.
You know, I don't like holding grudges.
You want to hug it out? I got long
arms. Joe, I don't like holding grudges. So if I let you in here, if I let you into my morgue, and you're rude to me, I'm going to feel sour about that. I'm going to feel real sour about that. I'm going to have to hold a grudge. I hate having to do that. So you promising me right now you're going to be respectful? You're going to be nice?
I'm going to be so nice. You want a cigarette?
He offered you a cigarette.
There we go. Yeah. Okay. Come in. My Paisan, Joe. It's been an age. Yeah. All right. So obviously, I can show you the sheet. I can't show you any of the stuff that was obviously recovered. That's in a separate locker. But as long as you don't take too long, you can take a look. And please don't do anything. Don't mess with anything. It's an ongoing investigation. This just happened last night. The insurance guys are going to be in here, you know, probably sometime today.
What did you discover anything? What do you think they're going to say?
Well, you know, we've got one of those goblins policies. It's not looking great. I mean, yeah, you'll see. He pulls out a drawer, and you know, it is the very classic, like there is a sheet over a body in a drawer. Pulls back the sheet, and you can see Evelyn's body. I want like you two to describe like more of her physical features, like how old she is, like how strong she looks, that type of thing. We can let you lead on that. I know what details are there, but like for that, you'll need to investigate, make rolls, that sort of thing.
Well, she looks like she was in good shape. She knew what she was doing in terms of the job. Doesn't look like she was chomping down on the cookies and couldn't take care of herself. She looks like she was pretty strong.
I'll say, you know, it probably looked like maybe she got chomped rather than the cookies. I think there are probably more than a few scars her, which is typical. Like, I mean, if Noah were to take his shirt off, like you would see, There's probably some wounds from hanging out behind the Wonder Wall.
Being around so long, you recognize some of the scars of the different monsters that she's come in contact with. And you know, from how much they've healed, that she was no slouch. It looks like she took on some big monsters and came out at the better side of it.
Yeah.
Me and Evie took a few trips behind the wall. Barely got out a few times. Good stuff. Good stuff. I hate to see you like this.
Why do you say she owes you? You owe her. You said you owe her.
Evie hooked me up with a few contacts. Got me some things that I needed. Got some doors open for me that I couldn't open myself. She's a good one that way.
If you couldn't open them, that must have been some trick she could pull.
Evie was great. Evie was great, really. And you hate to see this. Not many people looking like Evie come through this office, at least. Most folks who go venturing behind the wall end up in the morgue. They don't quite get to so many scars.
Yeah.
Yeah, things don't look good. You see here, there are a lot of broken ribs. Whatever got her, I think she was crushed, probably. There's probably going to need to be an autopsy. We haven't done that yet because insurance needs to begin their investigation before we go inside. But there's a lot of bruising over here. One of the things that's a little strange, somebody's crushed. She's missing obviously a leg, so that's strange. But apart from that, there's a lot of freaky stuff behind the wall, Well, it can happen.
Anything here that insurance is going to ignore that you notice? I believe that you haven't done an autopsy yet, but I don't believe you don't know nothing.
All right. Since Noah brought you in here, he goes over to the filing cabinet and pulls out a case file for this. We got these pictures that was taken at the scene, and I kind of think I love the dot matrix printer. I think a dot matrix printer is something that does not show up in fantasy enough. Since we've got this crystal ball technology, I like the idea that we've got these crystal balls and the most elaborate sort of dot matrix printing where, if you remember the Game Boy camera, that is kind of the level of fidelity that is on this. There is just this very fuzzy, but it is a picture of where Evelyn's position would have been when the police found her. Now, here's a case file. Here are the photos. It does resemble a lot of stuff that comes out of the dungeon. But here's what's weird. She's missing her coin purse, which isn't totally out of the ordinary, right? Some of the things down there can think. Some of them take stuff, especially shiny things, especially things like gold. That stuff gets taken. But she had all of her jewelry on her. I'm talking her necklace. I'm talking at least one ring. And a bracelet of some kind. All of it, They've got it all tagged in evidence. It's listed right here. That's fucking weird.
Can I just look at the body for a while and see if I notice anything with my investigativeness? Because you said she's missing a leg. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming in the picture she's also missing a leg. It didn't disappear.
Still missing a leg in the picture.
It didn't disappear in between the two things.
That would be very strange. But yes, right. Again, with your powers of perception, that is not going to be a problem. And kind of what I want is a roll from you, and we will just see how high you can get. This is the part where I will bring in the system. Because this is a Cypher Descended product, you can spend effort on these rolls. Effort is spending an amount from your pool. If you spend 3 points from your pool on a roll, you'll be able to increase your success or ability to achieve success by one level in addition to whatever you roll. But that is, of course, optional.
Got it. And I do that. I'll say that before the roll happens.
You'd say that before the roll happens if you want to spend effort on it.
Can I use? I'm wondering if I just want to spend 5 minutes looking at her. Also, just quick question. The lucky number? Do I need to do that?
Oh, yeah. We should select your lucky number. That's right. you've got an ability that I think it's like actually called preparedness or whatever, but it essentially you get to pick, you get to roll a d20. And if it is not 19 or 20, you have like an extra number that will allow you critical successes throughout the game.
I got a 16.
16. So your lucky number is 16. So if you roll 16, 19, or 20, it will be an even greater success.
Wish it would have been lower, because 16 is a pretty good number.
Yeah, that's a pretty high number to burn. But it, hey, it's better than a 16 normally would have been.
That's so true. All right, so I'll roll. I'm just going to roll normally to see how much I can see on her without adding anything. Well, let's see. So if I add something, I pick which pool.
Yeah, so this would probably be an intellect.
Right, I would say so. If I add, if I just say, great, I'm going to burn 1 point in my intellect, that means
so
my
intellect
is down to 14.
You'd burn 3 points to do one level of effort.
Got it. And then does that mean my intellect is down to 12 the rest of the game?
Yeah. So like you'd spend it down, and like there are, you can recover 1d6 plus 3 points to your various pools for, you know, spent basically doing a recovery scene. But you know, this is a one shot.
Right. Does the intellect, is that number just the pool, or does it like, do I add 15 to something? Like it's a modifier.
No, you're not going to be adding 15 to something.
Great. Okay. So it doesn't matter how low that gets as long as you have something.
Exactly. As long as you got something to play with.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that then. So I'm going to go down to 12 on, I understand this game. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to roll, and I rolled a 17.
Oh, hey, so close. So unbelievably close. So we've got
the one,
that
it would be 18, right?
Basically, okay. So I'm looking at the levels of a success here, and kind of what I was like, you also have, because this is perception and you are skilled in that, like you're lowering the difficulty by two steps anyway. So we're looking at a success that is around, you know, heroic level, which, you know, most people would take like a 24 to get to. So this is like a true, you know, Sherlock scene that we have.
Got it.
And the question for you is, like, if we are thinking about this as though it were a noir film, I want to know, what does like your mind look like as it notices things? Is it like details are being highlighted for you? Do we have a Sherlock style, you know, screen graphics that are calling attention to certain areas? Like
it's more like a puzzle in my head. So when I notice things that are out of order, it's almost like a jigsaw puzzle piece, and then it just goes into some place, and so eventually they'll all fit together into one big picture. So all of the pieces will like if there's, let's say there's a piece of hair on her jacket that doesn't seem to belong there, like it will be like almost a puzzle piece in my brain, and it just stays there until I figure out how it fits together with everything else. And then it'll zoom out and show me the killer.
Yeah, yeah. So the things that you notice, I think one of the big ones, like you spend a good deal of time like looking over the body and noticing different details. I mean, the scars are calling out to you, like, and we can like see the information fitting into like other bits of the puzzle pieces. Like, you know, we can see experienced adventure, at least 5 years, you know, veteran in the field. You can see that she, like, based on the creases on her fingers, that she normally fights with a knife. Like, you have that information. We move down to study the wound. You can see that the wound looks like it could be caused by an animal based on the damage done to the flesh. It is gnarly. It has been picked at. It has been pulled at. However, the break in the bone is absolutely clean, as though it was sawed through and not ripped off by an animal.
Of the leg?
Yeah, of the leg. So, yeah, like the meat, it looks like, oh, yeah, this was like a messy job done by an animal. The bone, that's crisp and clean, and that's strange. Looking over the rest of the body, you can see that she has ink on her fingertips, as though, like, you know, she was touching something that was inky and it rubbed off on her fingers. You can see that based on the bruises and like the broken bones, whatever killed her, like it was likely damage to her spine that actually, you know, took her life. She was simply grabbed by something very large and crushed. There are no other like contusions on the body apart from where the leg was taken. Apart from like those details, it appears open and shut, though like you got a heroic level of difficulty. So now I want to see if there's like any other details that we can give you simply by the... All right, we're gonna do some fantasy magic nonsense. Okay. One of the old fashioned beliefs that people had, like I think around the Victorian age, it might be an Edwardian belief, though. Like it kind of dogs me to imagine that people believe this nonsense that long. That people, you would be able to tell who murdered somebody by like looking in their eyes. If you were to like do a projector through their eyes, like the last thing they would see would still be projected there.
Yeah,
because people didn't know how eyes worked.
I saw Wild Wild West. I know what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, Wild Wild West did that. So yeah, okay. This is a much more easy to understand concept because it wasn't a Will Smith movie. All right. Yes. So I think you can like you peer into her eyes. And you can see like the silhouette of something enormous and like kind of hairy looking. But you can see like that she was like trying to look away from that. And they're like very, very far in the distance. There's like kind of an indistinct frame. She's looking towards a bridge. And I'm going to say, because again, this is a heroic role, you recognize the specific bridge. So you now, even if like it wasn't in the police report, you have the exact location of where this murder took place. It does not match up. Like right. The bridge that she is looking at could not be where she was found.
Right. That was the next thing I was going to ask. Okay. Well, now we know that she's been moved. So, let's see.
The whole time this is going on, Noah's just looking at Prosciutto like, and he does this thing. I promise you, it's real cool. He's figuring stuff out.
You know, I'm really not supposed to, but I let a lot of people in here to look at the bodies.
A lot of people. Prosciutto, come on.
It's good money. It's good money.
I'm feeling less special.
Hey, you're special because you don't look at the bodies the way he looks at the bodies, okay?
He's figuring it out. I'm telling you, it's weird, but it's great.
In her possessions, did she have a knife?
Let's see. I got the jewelry. I've got armor. I've got a backpack, standard adventuring fare. We had like a grappling hooks and rope. Looks like a good supply of lamp oil. I'm not seeing a knife of any kind.
Thank you for the good time. And I just turn around and walk out of the room.
And that's what most of them say after they're done with the bodies. And whoa, I don't like that one bit. I don't like that one bit. But it's good money. It's good money.
That's a whole lot I didn't need to know, buddy. But you know, Prosciutto, you're good people. Thank you for letting me in here, and you take care of yourself. Don't do anything weird. I'm out of here.
All right. You know, give me a call next time you want to look at some dead people, I guess.
You're making it weird. He just keeps walking.
I have to live here. My apartment's right next door to here. This is all I see all day.
Oh, buddy.
Are you sure you don't want to hang out?
No, buddy. We got to solve the case. Look, he's already leaving me behind. He's not going to wait for me, you know?
All right, goodbye.
I just ran after him.
Well, you got some great friends there.
I got useful friends.
Something's not right.
Something's right, you looked at a dead body real hard for like 5 minutes, didn't say a word. Did your little weird trance thing. What'd you figure out?
So, let me tell you something. Where they found her was not where she was killed. Her leg looks like it was ripped off. I think someone removed that leg, and that means that they did it for a reason. The monster that killed her, you look at all those wounds and everything, that was a big fucking monster. That kind of monster doesn't just get out from behind the wall without somebody being really stupid or really smart.
Evie wasn't the stupid type, so let's...
Was she into the, you know, was she go pillaging behind the wall?
We all take a little when we can get it.
That's what I'm saying. Wouldn't you have a purse with you?
I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, well, I figured it. Somebody found their body before they reported it, took a little bit off the top, and then, you know.
It's what I would have done, what you would have done, but I would have taken that necklace. Did you see that necklace? I think there was something else in that bag.
All right, so we've got a perp that's got a big creature from the wall who's taking people's legs and coin purses. See, I bring you the best stuff. Only you can figure this out.
Make it interesting anyway. And let me tell you, if she's been doing this that long with those many scars, she's not going to allow some beast that big to get her in the middle of the street. No way, no how. Unless they get a drop on it. And that beast that big, and from where I think she was killed, she could have seen that thing coming. So,
as you say this, the door at the end of the hallway opens in front of you, and the light of the world outside, like, kind of trickles in. You know, the light of the sun is even more intense than the light of the moon. It pierces the clouds. It makes, you know, if you go out in the middle of the winter, like, it can almost be blinding to have the sun go through the clouds, like, especially, you know, my home state of Colorado, like, there's not usually a lot of cloud cover. So cloud cover days, it doesn't feel gray. It is just like a aggressive and blinding white. It comes in causing you to squint a little bit. And you can see there is a detective wearing, you know, the uniform that is standard to detectives in this setting. So the question that I have for you two, obviously, this man's a cop, so he's a bastard. You both know him.
Hey, Cap.
And you don't have a good relationship with this man. I just want to know, what does he look like?
Like the Doom guy. With Oakley's.
Fuck. Fuck, that's funny as hell.
with a polo that's too tight. Cheap Burlington coat, trench coat.
Mm-hmm.
It's sketches.
Yeah. This guy
sucks.
He's like one of those guys that like always looks like he's sweating. Like he could have just rubbed his head with a towel and he's just like slick with sweat. Yeah, it looks like and always like it's somebody who is always sweating and as though they have just finished an Italian beef sandwich, like a very wet Italian beef sandwich. That like he squints at you and goes, John Doe? No, what are you doing here?
Hello, heroes, and welcome to the Midroll. Heroes, I'm going to take a quick moment to remind you about our Patreon. Our Patreon is how this network stays afloat. It's how we stay funded. It's how we produce shows like One Shot, Campaign, and everything else that you've come to love from this network. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to the secret archive where there is a ton of bonus content. I tried to put character creation content from the One Shot episodes there. We have content from Skyjacks. There's just a plethora of new stuff or old stuff that may be new to you that you can listen to with that subscription. Every dollar helps. So if you have the time, head over to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and give us your support there. We would really, really appreciate it. Thanks, heroes. And with all that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
We were just going to the grocery store.
Well, this isn't the fucking freezer aisle, okay?
Could have fooled
me. This is a morgue, pal. Were you identifying someone?
Well, we were going to, and then we just found a jackass.
You know, I could write you a citation for that, though.
Hey, you learned your letters. That's fantastic. Way to go.
You're getting your ass kicked at this, buddy.
All right, you know what? Fine. That's right. I'm writing a citation right now, disrespecting an officer in the course of their duties.
Hey, if I was going to disrespect an officer in the course of their duties, I would find one that has any duties.
He's saying you're too incompetent to be given a duty.
I know what he's saying. I know what he's saying.
I thought I needed to break it down. You're getting glassy in the eyes.
If
I was going to say something disrespectful, I'd say something like your face looks like an ass that's had a lot of Chinese food with a lot of hot sauce on it. But I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all.
You got a butt face, officer.
This guy has a face that like lends itself to being red. It's like one of those things where even in the best moments, like there's a lot of rosiness, but like turns beet red really easily, especially when he's angry. I want you out of the fucking morgue immediately, or I'm taking you out in handcuffs. You understand me, Doe, Noah? You're not supposed to be poking around here. You don't carry a badge. You don't belong here.
Yes, sir, chief, sir, cerny, sir, sir. And then I just walk past him.
You try to, and he like slaps your chest with a citation. That's going to be 25 gold.
God,
all right,
damn.
Just drop it off in my office later. Thanks.
Okay.
he lets you like kind of push past him. Behind him, you can see two, I'm going to say lizard people. Like they've got scales. They've got like snake faces. They're carrying like attaché cases and they have like kind of fine suits. They give you they look over you as you walk past. They give you one of those like sideways blinks that reptiles can do, and that like after that you're able to go out into the streets.
I don't know why people don't like me.
You know, I gotta say you are you're a little prickly, but sometimes seeing you prickle the right people makes it all worth it. You see how red the guy got?
Thank God we got there before they did, because all the evidence would have been gone after that.
Yeah, that guy couldn't solve a case if I could think of something that would be funny about how he can't solve a case.
I like it. You're getting better at this.
I got to learn something, right? So, we know that she wasn't where she died. Somebody moved the body afterwards. So, how do we find, where are we going next?
Well, I'll let you pick. We can either go to where I think she actually was killed, or we can go talk to the insurance company, who's the only people that we know that will benefit if this is not how, if she died the way that they're going to say she died.
Let's go where you think she died. I don't want to talk to any insurance folks. I'd rather be dead myself.
Some might say that, and I am one of them. It was this bridge over there.
Yeah. So you walk down a couple of blocks of the city and you come to a kind of like wider thoroughfare. This is an area where like some of the vendors who sit in the boats with their restaurants are set up for the day. I like to imagine a big thing because like you order off the side of the docks or whatever, there are, people who like will hand you whatever food item that you've ordered on a long pole that like basically hangs like a bag or a bowl of some kind, like on a hook. And like, we see a lot of that like moving back and forth as people are passing through this area, even as rain is still falling from the sky. You know, there are people lined up with umbrellas everywhere. This is not quite bustling, but definitely a trafficked area.
I think it was over here somewhere.
All right. Well, I hope your instincts are right, because this place sucks.
Yeah. So does everything else.
Not everything sucks.
You and your positive attitude.
I'll give you most things sucks, but not everything. Like seeing Officer Douchebag's face after he tried to give you the what for, you gave him the what's what. That didn't suck. That was good. I like that. We need more of that.
This is why you and I get along so well.
I'm very easy to please.
All right, listen up. So I think she was over here somewhere, which means it had to have been late at night because you see how many people are here, right? Okay. So you think somebody saw something? Do you know anybody who lives around here that might have saw something last night?
Let's see, around this neighborhood, I think, I know somebody who knows something or might know something. And he kind of spins in a circle and he points to, are there any like apartment complexes that overlook this area?
Definitely, definitely.
I got a guy who lives there and he's always peeping out his window. Real creep type.
This is the second creep that your character knows.
Listen.
If there's a third one, it's a pattern and a problem.
Listen, I know guys that know things. Just because I know them doesn't mean I'm one. You know, I just, they see things. And you know, sometimes I gotta see what they see, you know? It's not that I like it.
Try to bring me to somebody who isn't a client of Prosciutto's, all right?
No. This guy would never. I hope.
I want you to tell me what this person's apartment looks like. I feel like we like probably cut to you two standing outside the apartment door.
So it's the landlord of that apartment building.
Yeah, okay.
He's got he basically took the top floor or half of the top floor for himself. And he's always looking out, looking around, making sure nobody's, you know, taking any of his light globes and that kind of stuff. He always talking about, you know, one light globe costs this much gold, you know, so he's always real prickly type. So, I'm sure he may have heard or saw something. Yeah, his apartment is just cluttered with stuff. Like, his apartment is the lost and found of the building. Lost and found.
Yeah, I think like what happens, you've got you knock on this door. It's one of those places like there's a certain type of old apartment building in Chicago where it's hard to tell how much of the structure is wood or plaster, concrete, whatever building material, and how much is new coats of paint. Like one of those doors that when you open it, like you hear the many layers of paint unstick from themselves.
Landlord special, yes, sir.
And behind it is a rat person. Like, you know, most of the beastkin that we've described, like have like roughly human features and structures of the body. This is just a rat that is about 5 feet tall. Wears like kind of a grubby shirt and no pants. He's just a rat.
Hey, Noah, what's going on, bud? What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Duncan? We got a couple of questions. I was hoping maybe you might have saw something. You might be able to help me out.
I see lots of things, Noah. You came to the right place. I see lots of things all the time. Yeah. Come on in, guys. Come on in, guys. Can I offer you something to drink?
Yeah. We'll come in and I'm not thirsty, but maybe John's over here thirsty.
John, you a beer guy? You like beer?
I'd take a beer.
You're not going to believe this. Living in this neighborhood, you can't believe some of the things that, people just leave. He grabs a bottle. This is two-thirds full. This is two-thirds full. A lot of good beer in there. He plops it like right in front of you on one of the tables. Enjoy. Gift from me to you. You're a friend of Noah's. You're a friend of mine. What can I do for you, fellas? Answer some questions? I love questions.
I do not touch the beer.
As soon as he brought out the beer, Noah's looking like, oh man, you chose it poorly. Yeah, Duncan, so there was a mishap just outside, about a block away. Big Beastie got, I don't know if you heard, but Evelyn got, and,
Evelyn?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
a beast?
A big beastie, apparently, chomped up real good. It was, we're just getting back from prosciutto. It was a mess.
Can I, like, while he's talking, can I just see, like, be looking at his face to see if I think he's, like, knows this information already?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that is gonna be some kind of role. Actually, that might be a role that Noah might be slightly better at. Yeah, let's see. You've got deception. I think you might both have deception.
Yeah, I've got deception.
Let's have Noah roll this one. This is somebody that you know. I feel like deception should also be knowing if you are being deceived, and this is a person that you know. So I've decided on the value of the thing. So you just tell me what your result is and if you want to apply effort to it at all.
All right. So I think we're just going to stick with this. That is a 17.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can tell, like, as you bring up the fact that there was a beast in the area and that someone died, that, like, There's like a little bit of hardening around his features, like discomfort. I think being a rat person, like, he's got, you know, very obvious tell of like flicking his ear, like when he gets uncomfortable. There's a lot of that grooming behavior. When you mention that Evelyn passed away, like, I think you do notice like genuine surprise on his face. He did not realize that it was Evelyn who was the person who was killed, but like, he knows something, and you can tell.
And so he's just going to finish going through the story. And got a leg cut off and coin first stolen. That's the basics of it, Duncan. And I just want to know if you might have seen anything as well.
That's awful. I mean, you know, it was raining pretty bad last night, so. Hard to see much of anything.
Can I? So I have a special skill that's eye for detail, which is if I study a space for 5 minutes, and so I'm thinking if this story went on for 5 minutes, I could be studying the space during that time.
Yes, I do that? Absolutely love that. Yeah, awesome. Totally. Yeah, I think I might not have written it down.
If you study a place for 5 minutes, you may ask one question that must be answered truthfully by the GM.
You take a look at the situation, look around the apartment, and like gather this information. Again, we're seeing that camera effect of like puzzle pieces falling into place. And maybe it is a motif of like puzzle pieces kind of making up the murder scene and that weird kind of mosaic style that was very popular in the early 2000s of like many, many pictures being taken that are of different colors and hues that form an overall piece. And you can ask your question. What is it?
Do I see anything in this apartment that would have tied him to Evelyn's demise? Meaning, like, if I see her coin purse, if I see her knife, if I see anything that would have been that I could literally go, hey, I know that you know more than you're saying, you witnessed, you were there, kind of thing.
You see underneath like the piles and piles of trash in this apartment. Like, this is just an apartment that has a lot of
stuff in it. You see like the hilt of a knife, and knowing the marks and folds on Evelyn's hand, like with the wild observant detail that you were able to take in, you know that this is indeed her knife. Luckily, the PDF for this game book is searchable. I did pull up Eyes for Detail, and it is the thing that I forgot to write down. It does take 2 intellect points to do that, but you know, you can do that
done
as many times as you spend 2 intellect points. All right, cool. Yeah, you notice that like the knife is here in this apartment.
So you didn't see anything last night, huh?
Yeah, real shame. Didn't see anything last night. Raining, not much to watch. Mostly quiet evening at home with the wife. You know how it is.
Oh, you're married.
Yeah.
Do you like your wife?
Love my wife. Absolutely wild about my wife. Look at all the stuff she brings home.
That's great. Was she home last night?
Yep. Yep. Like I said, quiet evening at home with the wife. So
she didn't leave at all?
I mean, why would she leave? It's raining. She's a crow person.
I mean, I've been here 5 minutes. I want to get the hell away from you.
That's incredibly hurtful thing to say. Why would you say that?
We just I don't like people lying to me.
It's starting, Duncan.
And now this is an accusation of lying. I invite you into my home. I offer you a delicious beer, which you have not touched, which is wasteful, which is
I
the reason
that
it is in the home in the
first place.
I pick
up the beer and I smash it into his head.
Oh, my God. All right. That's an attack roll. That's an attack roll, that is.
I am not happy with this guy lying.
First attack of the game. First attack of the game.
Here we go. It appears to me like you do have light blades as a skill, but no attack skills apart from that. So this is just going to be a regular D20 roll. If you want, you could put effort into it. Since it is swinging a bottle, it would have to come from might.
No, I'm just going to roll, I think.
Great.
15.
And I got a big ol' 1 over here. So you clock this guy with a 3/4 full beer, and he goes down to the ground with a thud. I don't think he is unconscious, but he is caught off guard and like completely at your mercy.
I'm just going to slowly walk over to the knife that I know is hidden and draw it out from under the papers and just kind of hold it at him. Not like at his throat, but like, you know, like 6 feet away and be like, so, quiet night at home.
What the hell? What the hell? I let you into my place. You clocked me with a 3/4 full beer, which at least I guess you're using it, but still not its intended, not its intended purpose.
Noah, recognize this knife?
Do I recognize the knife?
That is Evelyn's knife for sure.
Ah, God, Duncan, like... You know that's Evie's knife. You know I know that's Evie's knife.
I don't know what Evie's knife is. I don't keep track of everybody's knives. I kept track of that knife because it was on the ground after the murder. I didn't see who got murdered, though. I didn't know.
You looted off a corpse. Like I get it.
Oh, like you're too good to loot off a corpse.
Not on this side of the wall. There's rules. You know that.
Oh, Noah, high and mighty. Too many morals to go to a recently deceased body and take stuff from it before someone moves it somewhere.
First off, you know I've got exactly 3 morals, and this is one of them. Come on. You don't take from a corpse on this side of the
I was so shiny. It was raining last night. The moon was up. You could see it glinting off the blade. It was in really good condition. I'm not just gonna leave that there. You know how much my wife likes shiny things. She's a crow person. They love shiny things.
Go to an auction. Get it from the cops for cheap.
And then don't lie about it when people show up at your door. How about that? You said there was a murder, that they moved the body. Doesn't sound like that quite a nice.
Man, those kind of murders, you don't talk about those kind of murders. There's too much heat around all of it. I don't want any of it, okay?
What happens if you talk about it? Someone hits you with a bottle?
If you're lucky, maybe.
That's what's about to happen to you if you don't tell us the truth, man. You look at
I don't want any trouble, okay, fellas? I don't want any trouble.
I don't want any trouble with you. I like you. You're a good guy. You have things that you give freely sometimes. It's nice. But we need to know everything you know about the body when you found it.
Noir, I think this is either going to be a persuasion or negotiation role. Negotiation, if you want to offer something in exchange for this, it'll be slightly easier, probably at a, I don't know, level like two, but you will have to put something up to negotiate. Or you can persuade him, like he's clearly at an elevated level of stress right now. He is worried about some real trouble, and it'll take a little bit. I'm going to say it's probably going to be a difficulty 5 of challenging if you are just going to try and persuade him.
I'm going to persuade him, and here's what I'm going to give him. I'm going to go, hey, listen, I don't want to be involved with Officer Dipshit, and I don't want Officer Dipshit or Detective Douchebag to be in your business either, right? But we got to figure out what happened to Evie. To Evelyn. We owe it to her. She's good people. You know that. So you got to tell me what I need to know, or else we got to get Officer Dipshit and Detective Dumbass on your case, right?
All right. So that, to me, you do have a skill in it, so it'll lower the difficulty somewhat. You're rolling a die. You're looking for a 12 without any effort put in. And this will be, this is an intellect roll, so you'd probably be spending intellect.
I'm going to risk it without the effort. That is a 16.
Ho, ho, whoa. Rolls have been on fire this session, and I love it. He looks around. He looks like very nervous. He goes, all right, fellas, I'll tell you. His voice goes down in hush, but hold on. I'm not going to try and run away or anything like that. Maybe one of you close the door. I need you to close the door. And he like starts like scrabbling through the trash in the apartment. His hands look very shaky until he like pulls out a box. He like winds it up and opens it up, and it is a music box that starts playing like a twinking tune that like sort of like blares a bit throughout the room. Fellas, this is some serious stuff, okay? That wasn't just a murder that happened out there last night. That was a hit, okay? A hit.
All right, so what makes you so sure that this was a hit?
Had all the signs, okay? Beasts that size don't just come up from underground, okay? You know, somebody'd have to be holding open the door to the Wonderwall. Things happen, you know? Things will crawl through for sure. You'll end up in your basement. There'll be a bunch of ghouls or something down there. That happens all the time. But something that big, you saw the flagstones out there. All right, there wasn't a sign. There weren't even fucking claw marks out there. That was summoned, okay, from some dimension. That takes serious magic. You got to be real connected to have that magic. I don't want any part of that. I saw it, okay? There's a big beast, okay, coming after somebody. Grabs her, crushes her, all right? And then some guy dressed in black, okay, comes up. And the big thing like takes the body away, and I see the knife. I see the knife on the ground. It's there. It's shining in the moonlight. I know somebody's gonna take it anyway, so I just pop down and I grab it for the wife real quick. Okay, that's it. That's all. I swear. That's everything.
Hey, you're doing wonderful. Tell me more about this guy in black. What's his deal?
Big hat.
Guy in black. Big hat. All right.
I don't know. You humans all look the same to me, man. I don't know. He had a big hat. He was wearing a dark cloak. Looked like some fucking connected guy, some maid guy. You know.
All right. Big hat, black outfit, and put a hit out, and he looked like a maid guy.
Which way did he take her?
Dragged her off down around the corner as far as I know. You know, it was that big thing dragging her around, okay?
For our information, would that have been towards or away from where they eventually found her?
Towards where they eventually found her.
Got it.
Can I use my streetwise to see if that description sparks anything?
Yeah. Well, of like the person
the guy he's talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Roll a streetwise. I think it'll be hard to just happen upon that information. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a check that would start at a. It's going to start at formidable. Your skill will take it down to intimidating, which means you need an 18 or more to succeed.
Holy. I am going to use versatile.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Cool.
3 times per day, I can reduce the difficulty of a task by 1 step.
That will take it down to challenging, which is just a 15.
And then I'm going to finally use some effort on my intellect, dropping it from 12 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Isn't it weird to have like a career in playing RPGs and literally every time you have to do basic math, you're like, every number that has ever existed has left my brain. I can't subtract 3 from anything. And I would like help from an adult. Oh!
No, that is it. Oh, that is it. That is an 18.
Oh, shoot. I was looking at the red die, but obviously that wasn't the one in the tray. Okay, hell yeah. What is it with these rolls? Holy. Oh, man.
So I didn't even need to do all that, but, you know.
I saw your face, and I was like, oh, no, he rolled a 1. Oh, no.
I was mad because I was like, I'm wasting one of my abilities. But, yeah.
All right. I think you have seen Evelyn pretty recently, actually. I want you to flash back. Evelyn was.
He said back. He didn't just say flash. God, put that away.
don't flash, people.
Too <Don't>. late.
Audio only.
He's doing the flash dance right now. Okay. I want to flash back to like the last couple of weeks. Where do you typically hang out at night? Like, what's your like post work hangout spot?
I think there's a diner that all of us Wonderwall guides go to.
Yeah. This is a place where like the younger adventurers and the older adventurers kind of like intermix. It's like there is a little bit of like a public forum conversation kind of going on, but like there are also private booths and whatnot. It's a relaxed atmosphere. The food is not great, but it is hot and cheap, and it fills you up and mixes well with the cheap beer that they serve.
It's called the Slide Away.
The Slide Away, yes.
Oh, I like that.
This episode of One Shot uses music from the following artists: Lineage by Shimmer and Dystopia by Ian Koloski. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online, anywhere, at The Other Tracy. That's it for One Shot this week, but don't worry, we'll be back with part 3 of Shotguns and Sorcery next week.
Welcome to Character Creation Cast, a show where we create and discuss characters, the best part of role-playing games, with guests using their favorite systems. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Bolter.
And I'm your other host, Amelia Antrim. Join us as we sit down with game designers, podcasters, and fans of games as we dive into learning about different RPGs through the lens of character creation. It's a combination of character building, player advice, game design insights, and even a little bit of fan fiction for a different game every month. We tackle a variety of new and old games, both well-known and indie-produced titles.
We learn how creating characters can tell us a lot about the games themselves. Check us out today anywhere you can get podcasts or on the One Shot Podcast Network at oneshotpodcast.com.
As usual, we end one shot with a call to action, and heroes, I am going to encourage you this time to get involved with your local school board. There are tons of issues all across the United States that are being decided by state school boards and local school boards, and let me tell you, those bodies have a lot of power over what happens with our kids in schools. Specifically, trans students are heavily under attack at this point in time. So I encourage you to find out when your local school board meeting is, to attend if you can, to let your school board members know your opinions on the matters, and to do what you can to get involved. It's honestly the same as, you know, getting in touch with your state and federal representatives, except if your local school board members hear from a lot of people locally, that has the chance to move the needle even more, because when your actual local community around you expresses their opinions and you understand what they want from you as a representative of them for your students, it can make a huge difference. So look it up, get involved, and make sure that you do what you can to let students be themselves and to express themselves and live their lives the way that they want to. Thanks, heroes.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at GameMaster@OneShotPodcast.com. One-Shot is a production of the One-Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.